Eye on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, my conversation this morning features my friend, colleague, and partner in staff training and professional development, Chris Brady. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike.
And the subject is the exciting return of DDI's Film Forum. This is kind of, for us, kind of a big deal, and we think it will be for the community as well. Essentially, DDI staff and the entire community of movie and music lovers can look forward to more topical, engaging films, often around the issue of autism. But we cast a broad net to really discuss the issue of being different in the world. So this is a little bigger than just the area of expertise in which DDI is most invested. Importantly, just right out of the gate, one change that participants will find this year is that we're going to be offering movies at different times. We previously only showed them on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, and we're going to include a Tuesday showing a little earlier, a little later, a Wednesday showing, and as well as a Thursday showing. We'll go over the times in a little while. But Chris, if you want to just share a little bit about some of the excitement around the Film Forum.
Well, it's actually a great opportunity for us being representatives of DDI to engage not only our staff but our community in addressing topics that, sometimes might not just manifest in everyday discussions, and really allowing to have that back and forth in communication and, ultimately enjoy something in a group environment that can really benefit everybody.
It's funny because you're really hitting on one of the major points and why this is usually so satisfying for people who show up. I mean, we all know that anybody can watch a movie alone. I mean, of course, we've all got Netflix or something like that, and we can do this. And in some cases, we can even find these films. Not all the time, but I think this what really brings this to life is, Chris, just what you were saying, the idea that we come together for these films. All the films are followed by a facilitated discussion where possible. We'd love to have somebody who's invested in the film, someone perhaps who has suggested the film or even involved in its production, or just me and Chris, who love film. I always love films and the arts, discuss this and really bring about some of the major themes and wrestle with some of the themes as they relate, again, not only to persons with disabilities, although that's often the case, but the larger issue of being different in the world. And I have to say, there are a lot of films to consider when we make our picks for the Film Forum, but what guides us primarily is that, first of all, that these films be recognized, ideally win some awards, get a lot of recognition. We don't mind if they have subtitles. I don't think this theater has any. But most importantly, that there be recognition. Also, perhaps that they not be just the kind of films that are so easily, like main run films that you're going to find in any theater. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the archetype film, I guess, for this field would be Rain Man.
Right.
And while a terrific movie, not necessarily something that would be able to, really be explored and digested in this type of avenue, being that it was a big budget Hollywood release. We want to really look at things that are a little more, a little maybe smaller in nature, or maybe, made their rounds on the independent circuit.
That's right. The kind of films that are maybe are a little off the beaten path, and we come to the forum with almost a presumption that most of the people who attend have probably already seen Rain Man or something like that. That's that big, like you're saying, that big blockbuster stuff. And as you're saying, Chris, while good films, we kind of know that you may have seen that. So we want to kind of look a little more, dig a little deeper, and find the kind of films that might be shown at Sundance or the Mammoth Lake Film Festival or Warsaw, but just something that you can say, gee, I've never heard of that. Maybe this is something we need to take a look at.
Yeah, and that's the other benefit of doing these film forums is, I have to say, when I first started working at DDI, I never had an opportunity to attend one of these events, and it was always something that I kept on my radar. And then when I had the opportunity to help bring this back to our community, I couldn't wait to jump on board, because this is something that could, you know, not only benefit the community, but each, even us as facilitators, can help, you know, give some insight to us in those particular roles.
You know, that's nicely framed. You know, with that in mind, let's start talking about some of what's, you know, right out of the gate, what some of the lineup looks like. You know, we have scheduled already for Tuesday, September 24th. We'll come back with these dates for you again towards the end of the airing, but a film called Autism in Love. You know, it's the story of four adults, you know, who are on the spectrum, and they're kind of looking and finding and managing romantic relationships. And we do see that. We see that in virtually every adult program and some of the adolescent programs here at DDI, and certainly in the sister agencies. And that becomes very challenging. Obviously, when you're on the spectrum, you know, it's kind of a very poignant film. I think people are going to really enjoy this. It is, as we have expected, the winner of some awards. I mentioned Mammoth Lake Film Festival. It won the Golden Trail Award for Best Documentary, News and Documentary Emmy Awards. But more importantly than the awards that it has received is that kind of word-of-mouth stuff that you get by digging into the online discussion of a film like this. So this became important to Chris and I to kind of have at least one more shot at talking about what it could be like to navigate romance and intimacy in the context of, in this case, high-functioning autism.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, most people have had some struggles or challenges in looking, finding for love, and you, in some regards, appreciating love. And when you take that typical just human struggle and then you overlay autism spectrum disorder on top of that, it really leads to an engaging experience that you can relate to it in so many ways, but it still allows you to take that different lens and look at it just from that different point of view, which I think brings this movie and the others that we'll discuss really to the forefront of what we're trying to accomplish at DDI.
Well, that's absolutely right, Chris, because it is those layers. It's the, and that's really, really where the poignance comes from. And I think one of the challenges that many people have shared around, you know, finding love, period, whether you're neurotypical or not, has a lot to do with how you feel about yourself and your readiness to receive and show love and commit. And so many of the people that we support come at the table with some baggage. You know, they've been beat up sometimes or never even thought there was that opportunity would even present itself. And I think that's what makes a film like this so compelling and so right for the film forum.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, everybody struggles with it, and really to look at it from that perspective of ASD makes it that much more relevant. And one of the great things about something like Autism in Love is that it does allow us to put ourselves in their shoes in that regard and follow their stories and struggles, because it does happen in our programs in agencies like ours where struggle with the line between somebody really living the most fulfilling life as they possibly can. Love is certainly part of that, and there's nothing should ever stand in the way of that.
Mm-hmm. When we address something, as we will in the discussion of this particular film, around the issue of intimacy and love, it's impossible to go there without also taking the temperature around what that even means, what it means to be loved, what it means to give that, and what does it mean to someone whose expectation around that may not be exactly the same as our own. And I think one of the points of the film forum is that even though we've talked a little bit about the exploration of feeling different in the world, when we look at those feelings a little more closely, I think at the end of the day, what a lot of these films seem to demonstrate is that ultimately we're still, even in the context of a disability, much more alike than we are when we are different, than we are different. So I hope you'll stay with us. Our conversation is going to continue in just a few moments. You know, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other films on the roster. We're going to talk a little bit about a film called Love Animated, an Idiocracy. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. I'm here talking with my friend, colleague, and I say partner in training and professional development, Chris Brady. The subject is the return of DDI's Film Forum and the importance of casting a broad net when it comes to understanding how the people we support navigate the world of intimacy and life in general through film. Stay with us. Long Island. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, continuing my conversation with my friend and colleague, Chris Brady, in training. And not he's not in training from we're in we share the enormous training responsibility for DDI. Anyway, with that in mind, I wanted to kind of bring us back to the conversation around the importance of an appreciation for film as it deals and addresses the issues around being different in the world, with this secondary theme around how we are probably all much more alike than we are different, and how this gets expressed and manifest in film. You know, Chris, the first film we talked about was Autism and Love, and, you know, how challenging it can be if you have any kind of constraints that inform your life to navigate the land of intimacy and romance. The second film in our season is a film called Life Animated, a winner of a tremendous number of awards. You know, the Berkshire International Film Festival Award, Boston International Kids Film Festival, Budapest International Documentary Festival, Cinema Honors Awards, Critics' Choice Documentary Awards. Actually, this goes on and on. Too much to take too much time worth, but this is a good film. Chris, maybe you could speak a little bit to the storyline and why we chose it.
Well, Life Animated actually is a movie that when you know, we were doing research on really what to bring to the DDI community as well as our Long Island community, this was something that definitely stood out because it was a movie that tackled something that everybody who knows somebody who is on the autism spectrum struggles with, and that is the ability to communicate. And the story goes through, it's a story of a child who was nonverbal, who could not speak, and really learned the essence of communication by immersing himself in Disney movies, which is very unique. Mm-hmm. You know, we take a lot of our cues in conversation and communication from parents, family members, people around us. And when you have that when you're compromised by that, you have to find another way. And Disney movies seem to be the ticket for Owen Susskind, the subject of this movie.
You know, that really speaks to how idiosyncratic the means of communication for people often is when they're on the spectrum. And sometimes typical vehicles or even neurotypical areas of interest or understanding may not be as suitable. But what really caught my attention, Chris, in your description around this particular movie is this theme of communication. The reason that's important is because even when we choose to zoom a little further out from the issue of autism and thinking in terms of what it means to feel different in the world, that ultimately is going to be about communication, how well you are able or unable, perhaps, to communicate how you feel in the world and what your sense of self is. So regardless of whether it's autism or some other reason to feel somehow disconnected and hopefully later connected, that all converges on that theme of communication.
Yeah, that's entirely on point. You know, we see that happening in other, obviously, other avenues. People who, you know, take something that they hear on television and they start to repeat that, bring that into their lexicon, their daily lingo. And so this is something we all do in essence naturally. And, you know, when you have somebody who is struggling with this challenge specifically and being able to incorporate that into their lives and being able to use that as a stepping stone to enhance their communication skills, it's a great success story.
No question. Well, you know, Chris, the third film in the fall lineup is a film called Idiocracy. I mean, talk about offbeat and left field and an unlikely pick that's ultimately going to, I think, turn our understanding around what it means to feel different and what communication can look like with a different subset of the population. So let's go to Idiocracy, also a major award winner. But before we go further, Chris, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about, if you would, not only a brief synopsis, very, very brief, but why we gravitated to this.
Well, it's funny because Idiocracy, you know, kind of contradicts what I said before about Rain Man, because Idiocracy was it was released in theaters and it actually had a very limited budget and had a very limited release, and it's partly due to some of the content of the movie, mostly with advertisers, but it is what it is. But Idiocracy, if you're not familiar with the movie, is the story of a person who was cryogenically frozen in a hibernation experiment and, you know, is found 500 years later when the entire world has changed. And he comes out of this hibernation and finds he's pretty much the smartest person in the world because of the way that our modern world is, in essence, dumbing us down. Mm-hmm. And so by looking at the movie from the perspective that we want to tackle, you know, we take somebody who is really unable to communicate with those around him, much in the same way that people we support at DDI. And interesting twist is, makes us think, is maybe when we're working with somebody in our programs, maybe this is what they're thinking about us.
Very, very nice. It really does flip the lens a little bit, or flip the script and invert the lens, to the extent that, you know, especially in our world of providing supports, we start with something that's often referenced as the deficit model. You know, we look at a lot of the people who need our supports as somehow having some kind of a deficit, some kind of hole that needs to be filled, or something that has to be kind of perhaps upgraded or remediated. This is very, very different. This is what happens when the people who we're looking at are enhanced, when their cognition is actually enhanced and is better. What does that do to the deficit model? And who's feeling different in the world and perhaps lesser? So this really does flip the script, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's, I have to say, this is you know, my personal favorite for the film form, because one, it's entirely atypical of what would typically be shown, but still very pertinent and very relevant to, you know, not only our understanding of the individuals that we're supporting, but, you know, again, taking a look through their eyes and how they're interacting with the world, including the people who are providing supports for their needs.
Well, I think that's what makes it such an important pick. Also, isn't it interesting, Chris, that at the end of the day, regardless of where you might fall in terms of cognitive ability, let's put it that way first, ultimately it's going to be around communication. Because if you, well, think about those guys who were perhaps professors when you were in school, who had this extraordinary command of some kind of an area that wasn't all that accessible to you. Maybe you were advanced in another area, but someone else's brain was lit up in another area. The challenge still is around communication. I mean, you could be so, again, thinking back to autism and some of the social and communication challenges. Suppose you have that and you are also brilliant in another area. Whose challenge is it to communicate?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you're the you know, the biology major and you have to take that political science class and read a court brief, and it's an entirely different language, but it would be a different language of science to the person who's in the legal profession.
Well, I do like the way you put that. And again, Chris, I think what we're underscoring here is that for most of us, it's going to be certain strengths and certain weaknesses. I don't think I can think of a human exception, and parts of the brain that are brilliantly lit up and parts of the brain that are not. And even when you meet someone for whom it's not obvious where they fall, with a little bit of effort, especially around this issue of bridging gaps in communication, that's your avenue in. That's the work. Well, ultimately, all of these films, every film that we've ever chosen for the film forum is chosen around this theme of communication, but also something that clinicians like to call phenomenology. What does it really mean to be you? What is your experience? What's the phenomenon of your experience as opposed to mine? And accessing that is always challenging. And one of the hard work of providing good supports and connecting with the people we support is to work against presumption, to work against this idea that you ever know anyone's experience, whether they're neurotypical or not. Intimately. You know, in the few moments that we have remaining, I'd be remiss if I didn't go over and talk a little bit more about the actual times and dates. Okay, Autism in Love, Tuesday, September 24th at 7. Life Animated, Wednesday, October 30th at 6. Idiocracy, Thursday, November 21st at 5 p.m. So it clearly follows a pattern. Yes. Importantly, there's going to be popcorn and refreshments. Great, Chris?
Oh, exactly.
Absolutely. We're going to make this a welcoming experience. Please turn out. Let us know if you want to come. You can certainly just walk in, but it's helpful if you want to touch base. Just email michael.romas, R-O-M-A-S, at ddiny.org, and don't miss a single film. Looking forward to it.